You are listening to the Primitive Intelligence Podcast, episode 502, Disclosure. I've got a lot to talk about in this one. There is a lot to talk about. I'm going to do the best I can. I got some weird audio artifacting in my test. As you can see, if you're watching the video on either YouTube or Spotify, you may notice the studio is set up a little bit different. The first test, it didn't sound good. I'm watching my audio file here. It looks like it's pretty good, so we'll see. Yes, so new studio setup. I'm using my 11-year-old tablet as a notepad. I got all my notes here for the episode. And you may have noticed, if you were looking for the podcast on a podcast player, and you were looking for it, and notice that the icon looked different, the logo looked different. You thought, that can't be the right podcast. It is. I changed the icon a while ago, and I kind of forgot I did it, so I didn't mention it last week. But yeah, the logo is now different. So it is the kind of flame style monkey that you're looking for. That is the new Primitive Intelligence podcast logo. That's all I'm going to talk about. That's not related to the episode. So without any further ado, let's get into episode 502, Disclosure. The Primitive Intelligence Podcast starts now. Now, unless you've been living under a rock for the last few years, you probably know what I'm talking about when I say disclosure. If not, I'll give you a real quick rundown. What I'm talking about is the government and government agencies finally starting to let some information about what they're now calling UAPs, or unidentified anomalous phenomena. You may know them as UFOs, but the phenomena that they're talking about, they're starting to actually release some information, not really of their own accord, information to get leaked from a 2004 incident and a couple others that kind of forced their hand. They had to start actually looking into this. Congress got a little upset because they weren't informed of any of this, and it appears as though there may be some black projects that should be under oversight of the Congress that they have no idea exist. There are three people who have come out as witnesses and whistleblowers. Actually, it's probably more than that, but the three that we know of right now, you may be familiar with the Tic Tac incident. You may be familiar with the recent whistleblower, David Grush. And the third witness, I'd never heard his name before, but he is a former pilot who has witnessed some things, has been told some things, realized there's no way to report it, and it's still an issue. People aren't safe in the air. And he started a foundation called Americans for Safe Airspace. I'll put all these links down the bottom. But the bulk of what I want to talk about right now is the July 26, 2023 House Oversight's National Security Subcommittee on UAPs. This is a legit, actual subcommittee that happened that talked about UAPs and about their threat to national security. I'll put a link. You can find it. You can just search for that and you'll find it. I'll put a link to, I want to say it was either NBC or CBS was the one I just watched, but I've watched it a couple times now. And I wanted to pull out the information that I wanted to talk about. Some stuff that I thought was very interesting or pertinent to the conversation here. If you've listened to any Primitive Intelligence podcast episodes, you probably were expecting me to cover this. And you're right. There's a lot to talk about. Now, just to lay out the way I'm going to cover this, I'm not going to do a word for word or second for second recap of this hearing. It was 2 hours and 20 minutes long. You need some time to go through the whole thing. I'm going to pick out the parts, like I said, that I find interesting or pertinent, and we'll talk about those. And some of these things, some of the questions that were asked several times by different people. There was 20 or 30 representatives of Congress and the government on the committee. And then there was the three witnesses. And then there was a bunch of people there in the, I guess you'd call it audience observing. So some of these questions were asked several times by different people in slightly different ways. that's just government for you. So I may not have the wording exactly right, but I'm going by the gist of what was said. And then unless I say it's a direct quote, I'm also giving you just the gist of what was said, because some of these questions were asked to all three and then they each gave their answer. And if they were basically the same answer, I just kind of amalgamated that together. So let's go ahead and get into this. The very beginning of this oversight committee is all the head officials that are there. They say a little bit about themselves, who they are, why they're involved, and, you know, a few other things. Not a lot of interesting stuff pertaining to UAPs, but there was a couple of interesting tidbits that were dropped by Mr. Grothman of Wisconsin. He's the chairman of this committee. He did say that in 1966, President Gerald Ford, and in 1969, Jimmy Carter, both claimed to have seen UFOs. He also stated that NASA and ARRO, now ARRO is A-A-R-O, the All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office. It is a relatively new department, and it operates under the Department of the Secretary of Defense. Both NASA and ARRO are both running independent, separate investigations in UAPs. Now, the AARO has already come out recently and said they have no credible evidence of any non-human craft or any UAPs. That's what they're saying. That's their official stance. But there's a lot of people saying otherwise right now. So they're both running their own investigations. And I don't think NASA's investigation has come out yet. So there'll be more on that at some point. Then he mentioned the Chinese spy balloon, the one that got shot down off of the coast of the Carolinas. And I think we all know about that. And then he said there was two UAPs that were shot down in the following few weeks. I thought it was four. Maybe it was two that are UAP unexplained and two that they knew what they were. I'm not sure. He did not elaborate. He said after the Chinese spy balloon, two UAPs were shot down. Several more people go through. They talk about who they are, why they're there. They then get into the opening comments of our three witnesses. The first is Mr. Ryan Graves, a retired F-18 pilot. He is the founder of the Americans for Safe Airspace, and he had some interesting things to say. Now, again, this is just his opening statement. Here's the highlights that I pulled out of it. He says that more than 30 commercial and military personnel have confided in him with sightings and experiences with UAPs. He says that UAPs are in our airspace and sightings are, quote, routine. He didn't say that they're seen occasionally. It's routine. This is happening all the time. 2014, as an F-18 pilot, he was stationed at NAS Oceana in Virginia Beach. And after radar upgrades, they began detecting UAPs. This is key. We're going to talk about this at the end too. After upgrades, they began detecting UAPs. And then shortly after that, two F-18s were flying, I think you said tests, they were on a test flight. So two F-18s flying together, they were split by a dark cube inside a clear sphere. It came within 50 feet of the jets, and it was between 5 and 15 feet in diameter. Now, 50 feet proximity, that doesn't seem like a lot when you're standing on, you know, if you're on the sidewalk and your neighbors across the street, they're probably 25 feet away. Double that, you think, well, that's not that close. But when you're flying in a jet, 50 feet is close. They then moved on to David Grush, our most recent whistleblower. A lot of what he says in his opening comments are just to state who he is, what his credentials are, and how he became a whistleblower. Because after his recent interview, I guess a lot of people are questioning, who is this guy? Never heard of him. He's been a member of the intelligence community for quite a while. He did also say that while with National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, never heard of that, he was the co-lead in Unidentified Anomalous Phenomena and Transmedium Object Analysis. So UAPs and TMOs, Transmedium Objects. This was not expanded on. The only thing I can think, I have not looked this up. I think I've heard this phrase before, and I think it's anything. If you've heard of UFOs, you may have heard of USOs, Unidentified Submerged Objects. So they're in the water. So I'm thinking transmedium objects are anything that can go from water to air or air to space or any combination of those three. I mean, there's been anecdotal reports in the past of UFOs flying into mountains. Maybe that's a transmedium object. I don't know. Okay, so he was the co-lead on analysis of these things. He was also informed of a multi-decade UAP crash retrieval and reverse engineering program. That's when he decided to go whistleblower. I guess he had gotten information. People had talked about it. He had seen things. He had seen documents. People had confided in him. He realized this wasn't being reported, and it was not within the oversight of the people it should be, and he went whistleblower. The third witness they have, David Fravor, also a retired pilot. This is the pilot that recorded the Tic Tac video. Now, Tic Tac video, Tic Tac happened back in 2004, and I believe it was leaked in 2018. I think it was officially recognized in 2021 by the Navy, but the video had been circulating, and then finally the Navy was like, yeah, this is real. This is really our footage. This is a summary of his story of the Tic Tac incident. He said that during a training mission, it was him and an F-18, I think he said F-18. So an F-18, this jet that he was flying has two seats. So a pilot and a co-pilot, or two pilots. There was two of these jets, so four pilots. They were on a training mission. They got pulled out the training mission and assigned to what they called real world tasking. So basically, no longer training. This is not a test. This is actually something we need you to go do. They were sent to investigate objects that had been observed for 2 weeks coming down from 80,000 feet, which is like the edge of space, rapidly descending to about 20,000 feet. He says hanging out for hours and then immediately just going straight back up. When they approached the object, they witnessed white water in the ocean off of their right side. And he said this is important because it was a clear day. There's nothing out there to cause white water. Wind was low. Seas were calm, but there was white water. They then saw a small white tic-tac-shaped object. If you're not familiar with a tic-tac, think a cylinder with round ends. A small white tic-tac-shaped object moving abruptly over the water. He said, like a ping-pong ball. So I'm guessing just kind of back and forth. This is a direct quote from him. There were no rotors, no rotor wash, or sign of visible control surfaces like wings. Now, rotors and rotor wash, think helicopter, right? The blades on a helicopter are called the rotor. Rotor wash is, if you've ever seen like Coast Guard helicopters oversea, rescuing fishermen or anything like that, if you ever watch a show where that happens, you can see the air affecting the water. That's rotor wash. No rotors, no wash, no wings, no control surfaces, just a smooth white tic-tac pill-shaped object in the sky. They went to get closer. The object was about 12,000 feet. They came down and it accelerated away like that. His jet was going to investigate. The other jet was staying up high to be able to observe his jet and the object. They all lost sight of this object. It was gone. Air control contacted the pilot and said the object was now roughly 60 miles away. This happened in less than a minute. He says, you can do the math. I did. 3,600 miles an hour. If it went a mile or 60 miles in 1 minute, 3,600 miles per hour. Now, just to put that in a little bit of frame of reference, and this is kind of hard to even fathom, but the SR-71 Blackbird, the fastest production jet ever made, 3,500 miles an hour. The X-15, which is the fastest prototype jet, 4,250 miles an hour. 3,600 miles an hour is pretty fast. And that's not saying that was its top speed. That's just what it did. And it apparently did it effortlessly. Now, Fravor also said that the 90-second clip of the Tic Tac video is all the evidence that surfaced. There were radar tapes that should exist, but they've never surfaced, and that the event was never investigated or discussed. From these opening comments, it then went into more of a hearing where individuals in the committee asked questions and they got answers. Now, like I said, I'm not going to go representative by representative in what they said. If you want to know the finer points of who asked what questions and what the exact answers were, you can go ahead and watch the video. This is just a generalization. Question. Are pilots adequately trained on how to deal with UAP encounters? The answer was no. And there is no reporting outlet available. Stigma and repercussions prevent most from speaking up, and if they do, it's never investigated. That becomes a pretty big central point of this, that if there was a way to report this, there would be more reports. Next question. Do UAPs cause a threat to national security? Mr. Fravor, the Tic Tac pilot, says yes, and here's why. He says, UAPs that he's observed have capabilities far exceeding anything that they had at the time and anything that he knew that was in even prototyping, anything that was even expected within the next 10 years. Then Mr. Gray has made probably the single most important statement in the hearing, and I don't think anybody even realizes it. When asked, do UAPs cause a threat to national security? Graves says, yes. And he goes on to explain this. Since pilots have no way, both military and commercial, they have no way to either report it or they fear the stigma or the repercussions of reporting it, this can be used to an enemy's advantage. What he's saying there, and if you think about this, if someone wanted to invade the United States and they could make their planes look like UFOs, they would get ignored. They would get ignored. They just fly right through and nobody would say anything because they didn't want to seem like they were crazy. That right there, that alone is enough for there to be a reporting option for pilots so that kind of thing doesn't happen. They asked Mr. Grush, do you believe that our government is in possession of UAPs? His answer was absolutely, based on interviewing over 40 witnesses over 4 years. They asked Mr. Graves, how do you know these aren't our craft? Generally, his answer was because of how they maneuver. He made the analogy of when you're fishing and you throw a bobber in the water, it moves with the current. He said they've observed these objects that are stationary. They hover, but they're not just hovering in the atmosphere. They're not just staying in one place in the atmosphere, in the air. They're locked to a coordinate on the ground. They're not touching the ground, but they're locked to that coordinate. He said they've seen them in Category 4 hurricane-strength winds not budging until they're ready to move, and then they take off at supersonic speeds. A statement like that makes it hard to say that's a balloon. They asked Mr. Grush, have you been retaliated against? His answer was yes, but he can't discuss it because it's under investigation, because as a whistleblower, he's afforded certain protections, and they aren't being observed. So it's under investigation. They asked him, do you know of anyone else? He said yes. They asked if he knew of anyone who was injured or murdered for coming forward with information. He said he has to be careful with how he answers that, but that anything that he's witnessed has been reported to the proper authorities. He made a statement during this part talking about how people are retaliated against, how it affects their careers, how it affects their personal lives, and he called it administrative terrorism. They asked about his experience as of being a whistleblower, and if at any point through the retaliation he had felt in fear for his life, and his answer was yes. In a previous interview, they had talked to Graves about a incident that took place at Vandenberg Air Force Base, and they asked him to talk about that. And what he said was that in 2003, Boeing contractors were at Vandenberg. They were working at they're working at launch facilities. It was around 8:30 in the morning, I think he said, early in the morning. And they sighted a 100-yard square, so football field-sized red square. It's a gigantic red square, approached at low altitude from the ocean, hovered at low altitude over a launch facility, stayed there for a matter of 30, 45 seconds, something like that, before it darted off over the mountains. That's huge. That's a huge thing. He said a similar event took place later on in the evening, but from the sounds of what he says, it was with multiple objects, and they were acting more aggressively towards the witnesses on the ground. He did say that official documentation had been submitted. That's weird. I don't know if I'd want to see a football field-sized red square flying. They asked him if commercial pilots are receiving cease and desist orders from corporations to stop them from reporting these as safety issues. Basically, his answer was yes. The point was then made, American corporations are putting their own reputations ahead of public safety. His reply to that was, it appears so. So then they asked Mr. Grush, do you know of anyone with or do you have direct knowledge of craft of non-human origin? His answer was yes. Now, I'll get into that non-human origin phrase later. They then talked for a moment about how these projects could be in operation with no oversight, and where are they getting their funding from? It was said that basically misappropriation of funds. This is vaguely specific, this question. And this came from one of the committee representatives. This came from a government representative. Are corporations overcharging the government for tech? And is that additional money going towards these programs? The answer was correct, through something called IRADs. The implication here is that corporations are involved in these programs, these retrieval or reverse engineering programs or something with UAPs, and they also have connections to the government with services or products, technology, things like that. And with, in order to get paid for the black project, that money needs to come from somewhere. So a lot of times that's got to be run through Congress. There's got to be oversight. There's breadcrumbs that follow that money. The best way to make that money disappear is to overcharge for, let's say, something like a toilet seat, and then go ahead and spend the rest of that money on the black project. Not saying that particular incident is what's going on, but that's what they're implying. They then asked about with the amount of, this is common criticism number one that they touched on with UFOs. With all the satellites that we have, all the imaging, all this, all everything's monitored all the time, satellites that we know of and satellites that we don't. So they asked him, are these satellites catching this activity? Basically, yes. Has the government become aware of actual evidence of extraterrestrial, otherwise unexplainable forms of intelligence? And if so, when do you think this first occurred? Grush answered, yes, in the 1930s. Common UFO criticism number two. How can they be so advanced, come from so far away, from, you know, if they're coming from light years and hundreds of light years away, make it all the way to Earth, and then they crash? Grush says, regardless of how advanced you are or what your technology is, if you fly enough sorties, if you fly enough missions, a certain percentage of those will end in mission failure. Two things to take from that. They're not unstoppable, but they're flying a lot of missions. If we do have craft, were bodies recovered as well? Crush says, biologics were recovered as well, yes. They then asked, human biologics? Answer was, non-human. Again, we'll talk about non-human here in a few minutes. So then a Mr. Langworthy was talking to Mr. Fravor, the Tic Tac pilot, and they were talking about, you know, did he feel threatened or any of this? Was he armed? He then asked if he thinks that the Tic Tac could have been shot down. And Mr. Fravor vehemently said, no, it would have just left. Mr. Langworthy then stated, looks like we have a problem here that needs further investigation. It's a very serious point, and it got a laugh. People kind of chuckled. But that is concerning, that these things can show up when they want, they can go where they want, they can disappear when they want, and there's nothing we can do about it. Then the last little grouping of questions that I pulled information from was, and this was answered by all three, so I'll put all their answers together. Could they be collecting information about us? The answer was yes. Could they be testing our potential? Yes. Could they be interested in our nuclear capabilities? Yes. Very interesting. It's 2 hours and 20 minutes. This wasn't done in a way that was disrespectful. This wasn't done. Nobody was rolling their eyes or asking if they'd heard the X-Files music or if they wanted to believe. This was taken very seriously, both on the committee side and on the witnesses side. This was not something to be taken lightly. At one point, Mr. Fravor, as he's explaining what he's saying, and he's like, I'm not a UFO person. I'm telling you what I saw. This is not a joke. Some interesting takeaways that I got from this that were kind of sprinkled throughout this hearing. UAPs are mentioned in treaties to avert unintentional retaliation. Official treaties between nations mention UAPs, so just in case one shows up and sets off a missile or makes an aggressive act that appears to be by another country, there are articles in place in these treaties to make sure that retaliation does not happen. Global. They asked Mr. Graves how many pilots actually report sightings, and he said in his estimation it's about 5%. They asked Grush, were there any known injuries to humans by UAPs? He said yes. Not by working on them, not by something that we knew what it was. Non-human craft, UAPs, have injured humans. They talked to Fravor about the Tic Tac and asked if it was possible that there was a second craft there because of the Whitewater. And he said that they didn't witness anything else, but they kind of joked that the Tic Tac was communicating with whatever was under the water, creating the white water. So that was already in their minds. Also with the Tic Tac, and this goes through to a couple other things as well. After the initial Tic Tac encounter, he went back to base. They sent out another group of planes. I don't know if it was immediately, if it was shortly thereafter, with the same radar gear. As they approached where they knew they were, their radar got jammed. This is kind of interesting because there's instances that they talk about where upgrades to technology of our technology and suddenly they're visible, and that they can easily deactivate this stuff. Three of the subcommittee representatives were called to an investigation in Florida where a flight crew experienced what they said was four objects flying in a diamond pattern. When they approached it, what they saw was a giant sphere. The congressional representatives tried to get a hold of the evidence and talk to the crew. They were told no. They had to flex their political muscle to get any information. They got one picture and talked to one person on the crew. They looked at the picture. Now, they didn't show the picture in the hearing, and they said it was clearly not ours. And they asked the crewman, why is this the only picture? Why isn't there radar tape? Why isn't there FLIR? Why isn't there video? Why is there only the one picture? What happened? And they said that they were on a training run. They weren't expecting anything to be there, but all their equipment is running anyway. When they approached the objects, everything malfunctioned. And the only way they got the one picture was they had to manually take the picture. But everything malfunctioned. All, not their flight control, but all their monitoring equipment malfunctioned. So, again, radar being jammed, equipment being disrupted. So unrelated to, not mentioned in this hearing, but if you've ever heard stories of the Minuteman missile silos and objects appearing over them and missiles being deactivated. This is a common thing that happens with these. And then Grush's use of non-human instead of extraterrestrial. And they ask him about this. They say, why do you use the phrase non-human instead of extraterrestrial? What is, you know, is there something you know? And basically he said that he wants to keep an open mind. He doesn't want to assign an origin to them. And there are possibilities that it could be extraterrestrial, or it could be an origin of something that we just don't understand. And they ask them, do you mean extra, you know, other dimensions? Because you've mentioned this before. He mentioned the theory that the universe is just a hologram. And then he talked about other dimensions. And it really made me kind of think. Because I was wondering about why did they change it from UFO to UAP? And, you know, that's because it denotes anything that flies or anything that's on the ground or anything that's underwater. It's meant to encompass all of it. And it's also a little bit of being able to control the narrative. But the non-human, I noticed this immediately. I watched Grush's original interview where he came out and he was talking about it. And he was mentioning non-human. And then when you tie that into extra dimensions or whatever, when you look at, it feels like the population is being groomed for something. When you look at popular culture, in the past 10 years or so, you've seen this idea of alternate timelines, other dimensions, other universes slowly start to sink in. Like, get ready for it. Now, I believe that in this universe, if the universe is only as big as we think it is, and it could be bigger, with all the planets, all the galaxies, all the stars, all of that, to think that we're the only intelligent life, to me, seems a little narrow sighted, a little blind. Do I think that they've come here? I don't know. I don't know. I've seen some weird things. I don't necessarily think it was extraterrestrial. But when you add the layer of other dimensions on top of that, now you just exponentially increased the amount of life that could be out there. And by mentioning other dimensions and non-human, not extraterrestrial, to me, it opens the idea that they're not from another planet. These things are not from another planet. They're from here, but they're from a dimension that's just slightly off from ours that we can't perceive unless they want us to. So they're not extraterrestrial, but they're not ours. Now that's just that's where my mind goes when I hear that and I put those two things together. But it opens up a lot of possibilities. Now, the hearing was fascinating. It's a lot of information. But I have concerns. I've never known any government agency to just allow this stuff to go out. If they really want to keep it secret, they will. So if we're being told, if this is the information that we have, you know, it's been processed, it's been sanitized, and it's been conditioned for our consumption. We only are shown what they want to show. It makes me wonder, either A, what aren't they showing us? What are they trying to hide? Or B, scarier yet, what else is going on in the world that they don't want us paying attention to, that they're jangling the shiny object of UFOs in front of us to keep us distracted? That, to me, is the scariest part. I don't know what to think. I don't know what to make of all of it. And I'm sure there'll be more. I'm sure that there's going to be more. And this is going to be an ongoing saga. I don't think we'll ever get that 100% disclosure that people want. I think what we're getting now is a peace offering. It's just enough to hold people over, to make them think they're getting the information that they want to have. But I think it's just the tip of the iceberg in one of those two ways. Either there's way more to this than they're telling us, or this is the distraction from something else. And man, I don't even know if I want to know what something else is, if it's UFOs are the distraction or UAPs are the distraction. That's a crazy thought. I will almost certainly do more on this topic in another episode. I've already done a bunch, been recording for a while. So I hope you guys enjoyed this. If you have questions or if you've heard something else, please reach out, either primitivepodcast@gmail.com, or come over to primitiveintelligence.com and go to contact and shoot me a message. Or if you're watching us on YouTube, send me a comment. However you feel like getting out in touch with me, I'm on Facebook as well with this. Let me know. Have you ever seen one of these cubes in a sphere? I've never heard anybody explain that. I've never seen anything like that. I've never heard anybody explain anything like that. That's kind of weird. Or this 100-yard cube, red cube. that might be something that actually freaked me out if I saw that. I don't know. Let me know what you guys think. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for sitting through all this. This was a lot of information. It was very dry, but it's very informative, I think. Hope you guys are enjoying the new season. Thank you again so much for listening. That's going to do it for episode 502 of the Primitive Intelligence Podcast. See ya.